Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
In your face, Chicago sports talk with great opinions, guests, and fun.
Nope.
Afternoons on the Score.
All right, we have a change up in the lineup. Pat Thomasulo is going to join us later this hour. We appreciate his flexibility. Tim Anderson is off the field from the split squad game down in Arizona. He's just showering up, and he's going to call in. So we're going to have TA on in about 5, maybe 10 minutes. For my money, he's the best athlete interview in Chicago. There's a lot of really good ones. I love talking to Kopech. I love the one time we've had Liam Hendricks on. I think he's incredible. And Giolito's really good, too. Like, the White Sox have four awesome guys. Hap is great with Bernstein and Rahimi. I love talking to Kyle Hendricks. Jason Hayward is phenomenal. We've got a lot of really good baseball interviews in this town. But for my money, he's unapologetically himself. He's opinionated. He doesn't have much of a filter. He'll talk about anything you want to talk about.
I don't like the Royals. I don't like them.
Yeah. He tells you who he likes, who he doesn't like. He's got bravado. He calls a shot. It's all you could possibly ask for from an athlete in conversation. So,
well, I just want to walk a maritime plan.
Exactly. Exactly right. So I'm excited to talk to Tim Anderson, as always, coming up in just a few minutes. But we can get more into this a little bit later when we have more time. But I also have to say, you should go back and listen to Tony La Russa on the Mully and Haw show. Because while I was very critical, and I am still very critical, of the process at which they hired Tony La Russa, I think it's just bad business for your owner to force your GM to hire his handpicked manager who had been out of the dugout for nearly a decade and has said things that were openly in conflict with the personality of your team, whether it came down to social justice issues or individualism and celebration. And that was an opinion that was shared and wondered about by Tim Anderson and by members of that White Sox front office and organization. Like, I just thought the process to get to Tony La Russa was very, very flawed and an unnecessary risk for a really talented team. However, never question the man's baseball credentials, and how he handled it today I thought was just great. And he's said all the right things. Like, Tanny, can we get the cut on La Russa on, like, the personality stuff and fitting into the White Sox family? Because, to me, managers speak more than anyone else in sports, right? They speak before games, after games, national appearances, and all that stuff. So there's a lot of times where he could, in theory, say something that's in conflict with the opinion of one of his players, and it could be a day-long cycle and a distraction. Hey, Tony said this. Do you agree? Then they disagree. And then you got to go back and you ask the manager about it the next day. And that's just something that I didn't think the White Sox needed to bring upon themselves. But if Tony handles the questions of bat flipping, individualism, trash talking, bravado like this all year, they're not going to have a problem.
Tony, from the analytics to the emotions, when Tim Anderson publicly states the White Sox have more talent than the Twins, or maybe the first time he flips his bat in the fourth inning after a home run, how much of you will cringe and how much of you will welcome that bravado because of the confidence it reflects and the fact that, you know, the game has changed and players maybe are more expressive than they were the last time you were in a dugout.
Well, they're more expressive, and MLB has encouraged them to be. And I'm a member of Major League Baseball for years. So I will start by telling you that I'm working as hard as I can to be part of the White Sox family. Tim and the guys who are here are the family. So assuming that that my work is good and I get to be a part of them, I will not in any way not protect and promote and try to make members of the family better. So there's an old saying, you don't coach aggressiveness out of players. And somebody has talked about it several times. You know, when you deal with Ricky Henderson and Dave Henderson, Dave Parker, you know, Eck, you know, over the years, and, you know, Jimmy Edmonds. I mean, these guys, you know, they got a flair, and the fans enjoy it. But the point is, and this is what Tim has. Tim has a burning desire to compete and be part of a winner. And that's what those guys did. So we're not going to have a problem. And I know as long as we compete as hard as we can, and in the end, what you say is, like if we play the Twins, if it's a game that they beat us, tip our cap. You beat us today, we'll come back tomorrow and try to get you.
It's the perfect answer. It really is. And the skeptic in me wants to know, does he really believe it? Or is he doing the right thing PR-wise? But the realist in me says, it doesn't really matter. Like, as long as he does it, like, if Tim Anderson hits a walk-off home run, flips his bat, trash talks the other team, says he doesn't like the Royals, says they're better than the Twins, whatever it is, if Tony La Russa internally doesn't like that, man, just keep that opinion to yourself. Because he's right. Major League Baseball is encouraging it. They are promoting it. The White Sox do like it. Changing the game, baby, changing the game. Like, that's what they are. And so, even if Tony La Russa doesn't agree with it, as long as he doesn't voice those disagreements, there's not going to be a problem. And then the baseball stuff, he's got a great coaching staff. He's obviously very smart. He's very accomplished, a tremendous pedigree. The moment won't be too big for him, and it can work. It was never about whether it could or could not work. It was whether or not it was the right process of going out and getting him and feeling like Rick Hahn had been neutered in the entire thing. But I think that just how he played it today, like if I'm a White Sox fan and I'm listening to the 15 minutes that Tony La Russa was on with Mully and Haw, I bet you you were nodding a lot. Like, yep, sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. Yep, agreed. Awesome. Yep, like that. It was just, it was very much in tune with the times, the team, and it sounded very present, frankly. And so we'll see. Because to me, that was one of the only things that could derail this team a little bit. It was like, why mess with the chemistry? Why have there be any sort of distraction? Why do it? Like, why take the risk for someone who was going to judge the, like, sincerity of celebration or the sincerity of social justice causes and all of that stuff? Like, that, why take that risk when you know that that's a huge part of the makeup of multiple guys on your squad? But they took the risk, and to Tony La Russa's credit, whether it's from media training or genuine reform on the issue or whatever the case may be, I think he's nailing it so far. So I thought it was a great conversation, and I want to talk to Tim about his relationship with Tony La Russa, because he openly was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, when the announcement got made, he tweeted about not being distracted. He talked to Chuck Garfine. Can you play the cut, Tanny, from Chuck Garfine, what Tim Anderson said, to just refresh everyone's memory leading into the conversation, where, you know, he was like, he was just open and honest about, yeah, I had some questions, some skepticism. I didn't know if it was right or wrong or whatever, but like he was surprised by it. And I thought that that candor, frankly, was refreshing. And so far, it's been very good. And obviously they haven't played a game. They haven't lost a game. There hasn't been a controversy. There hasn't been a bench clearing incident, a bat flip, a social media post, an Instagram comment. Like, there hasn't been a thing yet. But if Tony La Russa takes the path that he took earlier today throughout any of those moments of individualism that 100% will come up over the course of the year, specifically with this team, there's not going to be any problem with Tony La Russa and his players on the White Sox.
I want to talk about Tony La Russa because for a guy of your generation.
Yeah, let's get open with this. Let's be open with it.
Yeah. So, like, here's a guy who's managing, who hadn't managed in 9 years, and you're like, who's Tony La Russa? You had a very, well, you knew who he was or of him. You had this great relationship with Rick Renteria. It's a business. So where are you at right now, and what are you learning so far about Tony?
Let's just say, like, when it first happened, I definitely was definitely not open. I was, you know, definitely was just locked in on what I already knew. You know, because everything had already been built and everything was already there. And the relationships was already where we, I feel like the relationships was already where they were to where we needed to be. And I think it felt, I feel like that the bonds were so tight that I wasn't open for nothing new. But now moving forward, like, I'm open. You know, I get it. I understand it. Ultimate goal is to, you know, win a championship. I'm all aboard for that. But I mean, we're going to see what happens. You know, I don't know Tony. Tony don't know me. So I can't go off of what they say about this man. And he can't go off of what they say about me because he don't know me. And I don't know him. So at that point, you know, the conversation is really just, we're going to start at zero and just see where it goes, you know? And, you know, I'm open to learn. I mean, he's been around baseball for a while and he's been successful for a while. So, like, it goes back to the same topic. Why wouldn't you want to learn from a guy that's been successful for a while? And I'm definitely open for it, and we'll see what happens. Well, you're in a point of life to where you're in control now. Like, I'm in control. Like, I'm aware of everything. I'm not just that little pup that came up that was scared to talk. Like, I'm aware of everything. So now everything is so open to where I feel comfortable. If there's anything that's going on, like, I'm open to have those conversations with whoever it is because I get it. I get it. Like, it's just life. Like, it's nothing against you, nothing against me. It's still all love, but we need to talk it out because the ultimate goal is to win a championship. Let's be honest. Like, Tony's not going out there playing any games. So at that point, as players, we have to see it as, like, he's the guy that just make the lineup card.
I love that. So we'll talk to TA about it coming up in a minute or two here. But people on the text line, like, it was never about whether it was going to work or not. Are you kidding me? It absolutely 1,000% was. I'm telling you, the baseball side wasn't the question. There was some of it, sure. But it was, for me personally, I can't speak to anybody else. I know, like, some people are like, oh, what about the bullpen and analytics and all that? That was never my question. It absolutely was part of the conversation. But my question was, is this guy personality-wise going to be more trouble than he's worth with his players who support social justice causes and individualism and have YouTube channels and do other things like that? And Tony handled it perfectly today. And if he continues to handle it that way, that'll be great. Because remember, like, this is a guy who talked about judging the sincerity of it all and didn't like Fernando Tatis's grand slam when they were up big and all that stuff. And that's just silly. That's just, that is old school. And this is a new school team. So there, and Tim Anderson right there is telling you, I definitely was not open to it. So this is not some score fabricated story. That is Tim Anderson saying, I definitely was not open to it. And it took him some time to come around. So far, though, it seems to be going great. And by the way, that bullpen is going to be very good. Today, it was confirmed for the first time what many of us thought, that Garrett Crochet and Michael Kopech would start the season in the bullpen, which means they got a lot of heat out there. And Tony La Russa, I was once told by a general manager in baseball that a manager is as smart or as dumb as his bullpen is good or bad. That there is a direct correlation between the two. And so if Liam Hendricks and Garrett Crochet and Aaron Bummer and Evan Marshall and Michael Kopech make up arguably the best bullpen in the American League, then Tony La Russa will be in line to be the American League Manager of the Year. Honestly, like, it could really be that simple. If a manager is as good or as smart or as dumb as his bullpen is good or bad, and you've got those two guys out there, and the White Sox get some luck with some health, because they're not the deepest team in the league. They're relying on some youth in some key spots. But I think that that is something for Tony La Russa that will matter a great deal, frankly. And I was cool. I genuinely enjoyed his visit with Mully and Haw. And I think this guy is the best athlete interview in the city. So let's welcome back to the Parkinson Spiegel Show. Oh, okay. We just lost the connection. All right. My apologies. Thought he was ready. Then he wasn't. We'll get him in just a second here. But like I said, I think, as a texter says, hey, let's wait and see how good it's going until we actually see some controversy. Yeah, of course. That's what I'm saying. So far, it's been great. I thought he nailed the questions today, and how it goes from here, we'll see. But it's a fascinating story as they move throughout the season. And now, can't wait to talk to him again. He's been on the show many times. For my money, he's the best athlete interview in Chicago. Tim Anderson back on the Score.
Change the game, baby. Change the game.
Bring him home. 1-0 Sox. Tim Anderson.
Tim, as you were running the bases, you know, you're doing that.
Silences the crowd.
Any significance to that? Just having fun? Or was there a particular message in that?
Let him sleep, baby. Let him sleep. Let him sleep.
The commitment the White Sox have made, they're done hearing about let's build and get good.
When he hits a home run, it's spaghetti night for dinner. He gets a big plate of spaghetti.
It's time for a pasta party.
Pasta party at my house. Everybody invited. Come on, baby.
We have a lot of good energy going and a very, very bright future for the White Sox.
The Sox are in first place.
You know, those pitchers in the hallway are still the same. Those are getting old.
Up the middle. Tough play. Tim unloads. And got it.
Did you see the MLB Network top 10 shortstops?
Yeah, that's...
This to shortstop, Tim flags it down. Off the spin, he got him. Nice play. We all will journey together into October with the White Sox.
I mean, it's a lefty, so I guess they haven't did their homework.
That slider is lined into right center. Another hit for Tim Anderson. Who's shocked? Another hit for Tim Anderson. Canna can't catch it. Kind of a hanging breaking ball punched. So Anderson has his 9th hit in these 3 games. He's the first player in the history of Major League Baseball with 9 hits in his first 3 career postseason games.
You know, I'm giving everything I got to, you know, try to deliver something that's really cool and really dope, something that you can cherish for life.
And the White Sox have won the World Series.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
With Tim Anderson on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park. TA, thanks for the time, man. How have you been?
No, I appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on. I've been great. How about yourself?
Doing well, man. You know, we're the snow finally melted here in Chicago, so it's a little better around here.
That's great. I'm in Arizona. The sun is beaming.
Yeah, yeah. No, don't rub it in, man. You got out just in the right time.
I'll try not to.
I appreciate it. How did it feel to get? I know it's just a split squad game, but how did it feel out there today?
No, it felt good. You know, the chemistry is still there. You know, team's still building. You know, today was a great, you know, great practice today. You know, it's been a great week so far. Everybody seemed to be pulling from the same screen. And, you know, we've been listening to Tony. He's going to lead us in the right direction. So,
that's
good about it.
That's great. I want to talk about Tony in a bit. But your guys' chemistry is pretty unmistakable for, like, anyone who's been around the team for a minute. Like,
yeah,
you guys – so when Yoan Moncada drops that music video and that song – you guys all just make fun of him, or do you praise him? Like, when you saw his song for the first time, what's the reaction?
I root him on, because you never know. You never know guys' talent. You never know what guys like to do in their off time. So I root him on. It was a cool video. You know, he got talent. So, you know, why not? You know, you don't live twice. You don't live once. So why not do everything that you love? And I think that's something that you love. And, you know, I think it was dope.
He's a hell of a dancer.
Yeah, he is. He's always dancing.
Who's the best dancer on the team?
Probably him.
you think so?
Yeah, probably him. He's always dancing, always in a good mood. So, you know, definitely a great guy to have around.
No, I just thought it was very cool. Like, you guys all, you know, you have your YouTube channel and your interests. Like, it's a team that seems to have a lot of guys with a lot of interest that the fans get to know, I guess. It's very relatable.
Yeah, baseball is just what we do. We love it, but you know we also have other things that that draw our interest as well. So, you know, why not do those things that draws your interest? You know, you can't just continue to just be a baseball player. You got to do something else as well.
What are your biggest interests off the field?
I like music as well. I like, you know, I like to shoot basketball. I don't like to play, but, you know, but most part, I like to spend time with my family, with my kids. I'm real low key. I don't really do much. I only move when it's necessary.
Me too. Me too. Yeah. It's nice, right? Just kick back on the couch and watch a show or something like that.
Yeah, man, it'd be a long season. So in the off season, I like to kick back and, you know, get my body a rest and also soak up some time with the kiddos and, you know, just enjoy life. You know, life's so beautiful.
No, I could not agree more. I'm a new dad myself in the last year. Thank you. Those kids will wear you out. You've got two daughters, right?
Oh, yeah, they'll definitely get you.
I was going to say, what's more tiring, the grind of 162 or being a dad of two little girls?
Probably the grind. The grind is, you know, that's definitely real. But you know, I get to separate it, and I get to, you know, I get to separate from being a player to being a dad. So it's so cool to just, you know, once I leave the field, man, whatever at the field is still there. So I have to go home and be a dad, and you know, just to walk through the door and see my two little girls there, man, it's you know how I feel. You can't really explain it. It's just love, man. They're happy. They don't know what went on in your day, but you know, you gotta put a smile on and make them happy, and you know, continue to, you know, guide and lead them in the right direction.
You know, so I became a dad for the first time during this pandemic, and it's been weird, right? It's just like me and my wife, and you're kind of relying on yourself because you can't see as many other people. What was it? How did you do it? Like, as a dad of two girls in the pandemic, and you're balling out on the field, but all this craziness is going on around you and in the city and all that. Was it hard having that separation and having the focus on the field, but then also like being a good and present dad given the craziness of the last year?
Yeah, it wasn't really too tough because, you know, they're my motivation. They're the reason why I go so hard. I got to make sure they're good. I got to make sure they eat. I got to make sure they got a house over their head. So they understand the grind, and, you know, that's one reason why I work so hard and continue to, you know, go out and get better each and every year because of them. So they understand it, and, you know, they're my motivation.
That's beautiful. We're talking to Tim Anderson here on The Score. You talk about getting better each and every year. What's the next step for Tim Anderson this year?
Just continue to, you know, continue to do what I've been doing. You know, we're at a point now where we're not proving anything to nobody. We're just doing what the team needs and, you know, doing what makes self happy and doing what makes, you know, team happy and, you know, being a great teammate. I think it's just about keep going. We got to keep pushing and keep having fun is the biggest thing. And, you know, I think we'll reach all our goals that we need if we just, you know, rally around each other and, you know, be in this as one. You won't really worry about the other things. Focus on winning. That's what we're here for.
How much do those things for you go hand in hand? Like if you're having fun, you're performing well on the field and vice versa. If you're not having fun, you're struggling.
No, I'm always going to have fun. I'm always going to be in a positive, you know, try to be in a positive mind frame because life is bigger than baseball, you know. But in that moment, we are in baseball and love what I do. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I try not to let this wrap around my life to where it really, you know, mess with me. I try to separate it. And, you know, work is work and home is home.
I'd imagine that makes it easier to get over like an 0-for-4 day at the plate, right?
Yeah, definitely. We just forget about it. You know what you're capable of doing. You know, when you step in that box, you know what you're capable of doing. And you're going to have games where you don't get hits. And that's cool. So, that's, you know, I look at those as donations. You got to donate some at-bats to get more hits. So those days you do go 0-for-4, just look at it as a donate. I donated 4 at-bats to the pitcher so that tomorrow I'll get his friend.
you're a charitable guy like that. That's very nice.
Yeah, I got to take care of the people. Got to take care of the community. Got to take care of everybody.
So sometimes you even got to take care of the pitchers?
Yeah, I got to show love to them too, man. I tip my cap. You had a great day, but your friend's going to roll out tomorrow, and I'll make you feel it through him.
Yeah, his friend's going to pay for it.
Yeah, somebody got to pay. Somebody got to pay, man.
That's amazing. We're talking to Tim Anderson here on The Score. So in your first answer, you said, you know, just listening to Tony. We played the cut earlier in the show for when you were on with Chuck Garfine about at the beginning of, like, you. I loved your candor, man, because you are the most honest athlete, I think, in this city. You said when he was hired that you definitely were not open to it because of your relationships in the past and not knowing him and all of that. But then the other day, you're like, you're 110% bought in. So I'm just curious, like, what did he do to earn that trust in you and that, like, change of tune?
Yeah. You know, obviously, you know, with the hire, I didn't know him. He didn't know me. So at that point, that didn't have my interest because, you know, when you're trying something new, you it's kind of weird at first, so of course you're not going to like it. But, you know, as I got to camp and, you know, over the off season, we exchanged texts and kind of got on the same page and built the relationship. Got to spring training. We had one-on-one sit-down talk. Camp's been going good. He going to let me play. He going to let me do what I do. He going to let me bat flip. Nah, I'm just lying.
No, be honest.
He's going to let me have fun, man. He's going to let me have fun. He's going to let me, you know, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. And he's going to put us in the best, you know, position to be, you know, to be winners. And, you know. The best position to be great, and you know, I like what I'm seeing, and I like, you know, conversations, and I like, you know, everything that's going on in camp right now. I like it.
Yeah, I know you were kind of tongue in cheek there, like he's going to let you bat flip, but
yeah,
were you at all like, oh man, is this old dude going to let me bat flip? Like that was a thing that had to have crossed your mind.
Yeah, but I was never worried. I was never worried because, you know, I'm pretty sure a manager that. A guy like him, he's gonna want a guy that goes out and play hard every day. That's gonna bring it every day. So, and for me, that's just how I play. You know, that's when I'm in my best. So I don't think that ever was a question, or you know, it never was a problem. I think it always, you know, I was gonna play the way I was gonna play, either way it goes. You know, but you know, I guess we could say that Tony does approve to everybody else that's wondering.
for anyone who's wondering, Tony La Russa signs off on Tim Anderson bat flips.
Tony likes to have fun too. Tony can have fun too. It's okay.
good. How much? Let's do it this way then. Like, how much do managers matter? They talk a lot, but how much do they matter?
No, they definitely matter a lot. You know, from the outside looking in, you may think, "Oh, this is the guy that makes the, you know, makes the lineup card." But in reality, man, he's there every pitch. You know, he's making decisions throughout the games that people that really don't even know about. And so he's just putting us in the best position to win. But, you know, it definitely matters. Definitely matters who leads your ball club. So, I mean, I think he's going to put us in the right position offensively and defensively. So I think that's what we win. You know, we can't forget what the ultimate goal is here is to win. You know, so we just got to keep pushing. And, you know, just follow what he says. And I think we're in a good spot. We're in a good seat. Not really too much to worry about. So everybody just calm down. It's okay. He has it.
Listen, man, I honestly think most White Sox fans are pretty confident in this team.
Yeah, definitely they should be. They should be. You know, they see – you've been watching us for over the past couple of years, and honestly, we have been progressing, and guys are maturing, and guys are getting better each and every day, and guys are working their tail off. So it's only right to be 100% in on us because the grind is real. You guys are watching it from the beginning. And we work, man. We work every day. We work to get better. If you ain't working to get better, what you working for? So that's the mindset here, man. We just work to get better. And, you know, the ultimate goal is to win. We want to win. Win.
Well, you feel like the type of guy that when you win one World Series, you'll be immediately talking about winning the next one.
Yeah, I definitely want another one. If I win the first one, I mean, I ain't just playing just to play. I'm playing to win.
Well, that's interesting though. Like you know, your daughters are your motivation. You play to win. But like, do you think about legacy and stuff like that within the game?
Not really. I think that's take care of itself. You know, there's not really too much to worry about. I think you just really control what's now. You'd be fine.
This team, you know, it seems like the sky's the limit for it. Like, if you were scouting the White Sox, how would you evaluate what this team has and doesn't have right now?
You can't really label it because it's so many like pieces that's just we got everything. You know, not to try to sound like crazy or anything about the team because I'm on the team, but honestly, we got a lot of good pieces and it's really hard to label because you got guys from like Abreu all the way down to Moncada. We go to pitcher staff, to Gio, to Keiko, to Lance. Like it's so many pieces that's there, and nobody knows our mindset. Like nobody knows how good a person can be, but that person and his drive. So it's kind of hard to put a label on somebody because you never know their mindset or how good they want to be. So, but we do got a lot of things in our toolbox. We got a lot of tools. Yeah, a lot of tools, man.
You guys also have a lot of personality. Can you talk to me about the leadership of the team and like how all of those personalities blend together in that clubhouse?
No, man, we just try to keep it open and honest. Try to be real. And we understand that we're on the same team, so this has to be something. To win, you have to come together as a brotherhood, and everybody understands that. And we allow everybody to be open. We allow everybody to – you have a voice from rookie all the way up. Talk. That's the only way we're going to know you. That's the only way you're going to be yourself, and that's the only way you're going to give me 100% you if you're yourself. And, you know, that's kind of how it is. And so that really brings out the best of everybody's personality, and everybody gets along because – you know, we know the ultimate goal is to win.
Just another couple of minutes with Tim Anderson here on The Score. Did you see that Tony said that Luis Robert has some Mike Trout traits in him?
Yeah, I saw that.
What'd you think of that?
No, he's spot on. He's definitely different. You know, when it all comes together and he understands the game more and he get, you know, get to be around and get a lot more field. He has a lot of field now, but once he really gets it, man, he's gonna be dangerous. Like dangerous. I don't think people understand how good like dude is. Like he's good. Like you think of good. Like he's good, man. He's good. He's gonna be good for a long time. He's gonna be around for a long time. But you know, as veterans, you know, Bray, you and those guys are gonna be in his head and make sure he's in the right position to be very successful.
How close is it to clicking for him, do you think?
It's there. It's close. He's picking it up. He's slowing the game down. You see how he shrinks the outfield. You know, his bat's coming around. The more bats he gets, the better he's going to get. So everything's coming together, and he's a total package.
Six or seven tools. Say that again?
I said six or seven tools. There's a bunch of tools in his box. He got them all.
Yeah, we were talking about that. What is the sixth or seventh tool? Like, I know the five. What's the sixth or seventh?
The other tools is things that people can't do, but it's just you have to see them. I mean, you can't really label them. It's just, oh, that's another tool. You just see it, and because your average player can't do it, so I guess that's where other tools come in at.
What about you? I would assume you're going to be the leadoff hitter for this team. Is that your assumption as well?
Yeah, that's my assumption. Yeah.
So what's your approach to being a leadoff hitter with all those boppers behind you?
Just get on. If I get on, then and they hit one in the gap, I can score from first. So all I got to do is get on, really. If I hit a double, that's definitely a plus. They're going to put one in the gap. So as a leadoff, just really set the table. Get the first or get the second. Just really touch a base, and I think they're going to do the rest. Because there's a lot of guys that go gap to gap, and there's a lot of guys that can go over the fence as well. So, and I'm a guy that can go gap to gap, and I can go over the fence, but my legs work as well. So, however, whichever way the game lands, it's just really, let's try to score first. Let's try to jump on them first. So that's really the goal, just to, you know, start the party.
You know, I like that. Start the party as the leadoff hitter. And, you know, we know your legs work, but now you're with Nike, man. When are we going to get a signature shoe for Tim Anderson?
Man, that's something that you got to ask Nike, man. That's something I'm pushing for. That's something I'm working on. That's something that's definitely I would like to happen. But, man, I just got to keep playing. You know, playing got a lot to do with it. So I'm going to just keep playing and see what happens. And if it comes, man, I'll definitely be happy. If not, I got to keep working.
Win a batting title or something, they'll give you one.
Yeah, win two, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Got to win another one. Well, that's doesn't make any sense, man. You deserve one. A signature shoe, that is. We know you have the batting title. And then Bears fans wanted me to ask you this question. I know you're a Bama guy. Yeah. Mac Jones, you think he's legit as an NFL player?
I think he could pan out. He had a great season. He's definitely – we only seen 1 year. And that 1 year we've seen was impressive. So just imagine when he does get to the NFL and how much he can learn and how much he can learn from other guys and how much he can learn from all the coaches that have been there. So, I mean, the sky's the limit at that point.
I don't know. You would know better than me, but just, like, all those guys on that line and running back and a couple of first-round picks at receiver, I'm like, anybody could look good.
Yeah, that's definitely is tough. You know, I ain't just the best scout for football, but it's definitely tough. Those guys big, man. It's definitely different. But from what I see, just from how I scout, I think he'll be good.
All right. Hey, listen, that's enough for me. And you can scout baseball, right? You're the best team in the American League, right?
Yeah, you can say that. But, you know, I got to be a little bit more careful with my words now because people really take those serious. But we have a chance to be the best team in the AL. We got a chance to beat a lot of people. We just got to continue to work and keep getting better and keep rallying around each other. And, you know, the sky's the limit at that point.
Tim, don't become a politician on me. You're the most honest athlete in Chicago. Who cares if they blog about it, if they podcast about it, if they tweet about it? Who cares, man? Just say what you feel. You're the best team in the American League.
Yeah, the best team in the American League.
My man. I mean, we can't say the F word on the radio, but other than that.
Sorry, everybody that's listening. Sorry.
Oh, God. T.A., listen, man, we want you on the show as much as you're willing to come on, all right? Thank you very much. Have a good one, all right, buddy?
I appreciate it. You guys enjoy.
All right, man. That's Tim Anderson. That was what we call a leading question, ladies and gentlemen, at the end. But drop the F word. Did you dump that one, Tanny?
What's that now?
Okay, good. Good. Pat Thomasulo joins us next on The Score.
Harkins and Spiegel Show Flashback. Flashback.
Paul Conrad from WGN Morning News. Paul, did you send the DM to Deshaun Watson?
I still have not sent it. I haven't gotten the courage up.
What's wrong with you?
Does he still follow you?
He's still following me. I'm still following him. And we're at an old standoff right here. I don't know what to say. Like, I don't want to blow if I start talking with him about football, he's going to unfollow me.
Paul, you have an opportunity that none of us do. We can't slide into the DMs like you.
I'm going to hold out a little bit longer. If he sits out for the first month of summer workouts, I might DM him.
Wow. So we have to play this charade out until August, until after it stops snowing in Chicago.
And you blew it! You blew it!
I really like Paul Conrad, but it really bothers me that he's letting this opportunity go by the wayside. But this guy's on in my house every day. I think he's arguably the most talented person in Chicago sports media. Pat Thomasulo from the WGN Morning News team with us on the Alpamonte Nissan Hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park, and he just launched the Pat Thomasulo podcast. Pat, thanks for the time, man. How are you doing today?
All right, listen, after that introduction, I'm pretty damn good. What do you mean? Did you try and get Conrad first? Is that what that little intro was, and he bailed on you, and now you got me?
No. We've had Conrad on twice, and... Yeah. You know, because the weather's been in the news recently.
Sure.
And he's followed on Twitter for some reason by Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun's my favorite player in the NFL, and he maybe or maybe not is going to be traded. The Bears are interested. And so I wrote him a DM to send to Deshaun to try to sell him on Chicago, and he won't do it. So it just feels like it's an opportunity that is being wasted by your colleague.
What did he say? He was like, hey, I can't do it. I'd love to, but I can't do it.
He was like worried that Deshaun Watson's going to unfollow him. Like, it's 2010, and we still count our Twitter follower count like it matters.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I think that was probably just some line he fed you because he was too lazy to do it. I think if knowing Paul as well as I do, he's probably like, yeah, it's a lot of work. Message somebody. I can't. That's my guess.
No, that makes sense because his laziness actually came across the second time we had him on. It was during a snowstorm, and he was sitting in his place watching his kid struggle to change a flat tire in his car. And I was like, are you going to get out there and help him? He's like, no, I'm not.
Well, I will say this. That is not laziness. That is one area that I admire that man above all else. Is he makes those kids work. I think he's got an 11-year-old that he's probably making kick in for rent, and that's what you got to do. He's got like four kids. These kids are expensive, and they got to earn their keep. So that, I praise him for that.
My son is 13 months old, and weekly I wonder when he's going to get a job to start chipping
in. Yeah, because he's probably extremely selfish right now. He probably don't let you sleep through the night, wants your attention all the time, you know, and eventually you're just going to have to level with this kid. And you know, there's no free lunch. That's what my father used to say. That's a great dad line. I'm going to give that one to you. I don't have a child to say that to, but that's a good dad line. Once you say that to your kid, you know, it's over for you.
Yeah, he's a complete and total freeloader. He has no idea how good he has it. But I will say, as we're talking to Pat Tomasulo from the WGN Morning News team, I hope this doesn't make it awkward. My wife has a huge crush on you. Huge.
No. That doesn't make it awkward for me. Does it make it awkward for you?
It does a little bit, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen. Just as long as there's nothing inappropriate going on while I'm on the television and everybody's going about their day, I've not seen anything on my end. You know, I understand I'm putting a lot of sexy out there, and I'll try and scale it back. I'll do what I can, but it's some of it is beyond my control.
It is. I tell you, Pat. So my wife's name is Stephanie, and Steph.
Hi, Stephanie.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, she loves you. She's gonna save that as her voicemail. But she's like, you got to get Pat on the show because just like you, he talks about sports, but he's funny. And I'm like, I think I'm funny. I'm not a stand-up comedian funny, but you know, it's like the worst thing when your wife says that someone else is funnier than you. That's what I get.
She said that
every morning. Every morning.
Again, you know, I apologize, but there's only – I can only control it so much, Dan. I mean, it's instinctive for me. I get that a lot. I could tell sometimes, like, at comedy shows, you know, there will be couples, and I could tell sometimes that the wife is a big fan. And I know the husband is a fan too, but, like, he can't – You know, it's a big thing with a guy to admit that another guy is funnier than you. It's like if you know another guy can kick your ass. It's kind of in that same, you know, that you don't want to admit it to yourself and to the situation. And I see that look a lot. Let me just also, I want to thank you for having me on because I've been in this market God knows how long. Mitch Rosen, would it kill you to pick up the phone and call me? What's this guy doing? Get me on the air, Mitch Rosen.
Pat, are you interested? Because, you have an open invite.
I got enough jobs. This is fun. If I don't have to leave my house, I'm just joking. I like not leaving my house. That's why I started this podcast, and I don't have anybody on the podcast. Because I want to keep it as easy and as little work as possible. That's the whole aim with this thing. I get to sit in my house. My kitchen is 18 feet away. When I'm done with this, I'm going to go eat dinner. I don't want to go out right now.
So the pandemic's been good for you.
Oh, the pandemic. Listen, silver lining. But yes, it's been a godsend. To not have to go out and see people. You know, I've often said sometimes the worst part about stand-up comedy is all the people. And if we could just get rid of them and I could do it. Now I do it from my home a lot of the times. And believe it or not, it's been so long I'm actually missing the people. But yeah, man, I'm a homebody. My lifestyle, other than not leaving my house to do shows, my lifestyle has not changed a whole lot.
Mine neither. I watch games and then talk about them, and now we can talk about the games from home. I'm in the studio only because my partner is gone for the day, so it was like safe to come in. But honestly, other than the whole deadly pandemic thing, it's frankly been kind of great.
Yeah, it's kind of nice too because, you know, everybody else is stuck home, so I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything. You know, I feel like they're seeing what they've been missing out on for the last 10 years, how awesome your house is.
That's right. So we're talking to Pat Tomasulo. He's got the Pat Tomasulo podcast, which if I can tell, and I've only listened to most of one episode, it's basically just you riffing material, right? That's basically what this is.
Yeah. That's what it's evolved into, you know, because there's no... You know, some of the clubs are opening up, and I'm not quite at that point where I'm ready to go and hang out with other degenerate comedians who I know are probably not following most of the rules. And I love them. They're all wonderful, but they're all in their 20s. And so, you know, it is. It's like a 58-minute open mic for me to just riff on topics and do stuff that's very topical and you know, I don't know. I was trying to figure out what exactly to do, and I didn't want to, you know, all these popular podcasts, it's all comedians having other comedians on, and then it just keeps rotating over and over. I go on your podcast, you go on my podcast, and then I do 10 other podcasts, and, you know, I didn't want to put in that much work, and, you know, I want to entertain. I don't want to have a serious talk with anybody.
No, I was entertained. So listen, good job by you getting in on the ground Thank floor you. With podcasts.
I think. I hope this isn't inappropriate. Has your wife listened to the podcast yet? It seems that she's such a big fan.
She was probably your first subscriber, and she's keeping it from
fantastic.
Me. Yeah, that's you're like
wonderful.
And you can grow great facial hair. So like, you're funnier than me. You're better looking than me. I can't grow facial hair. It's really my worst nightmare, to be honest with you.
I got to tell you, this beard, you know, it started out because my wife liked the beard, and you're a married man. And, you know, listen, without saying too much, it's like, you know, when a hitter is having a long hitting streak, you don't change anything?
Yeah.
You're reading between the lines?
Yeah, it tickles.
So I was like, she loves the beard, not going anywhere. But now I'm at the point where I'm playing with it and I'm touching it so much and I hate it. And she's like, just shave the damn thing already. But I've gotten so many tweets from people saying that I look like Donald Trump Jr. and they don't like it, that now it's essentially a spike beard. For every tweet or email I get complaining about the beard, it's tacking on another week. And I'm ready to – I'll ride this thing out until I look like an Ayatollah. I really don't care. I will keep it. I keep absorbing all of the hate. I don't care if I'm miserable.
Good.
That's how much pride I have.
You'd rather other people be unhappy than yourself be happy.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yes.
I respect that. And I know I complimented you on the front end, but I want to do it again here before you go because we did, and it was not just because my wife has a little thing for you, but your show, Man of the People, when you, the 30-minute weekly, you know, John Oliver style, Daily Show style comedy, I don't think people have a grasp of how big of a swing you took with that show and how difficult it is to pull off and how rare it is to see that undertaking in a local media market with what I could only imagine is a skeleton crew compared to those other comedy shows. And so I mean this sincerely as just someone who could never do what you do, but like has a tremendous amount of respect for the art form and the industry itself. Like, I know it, you know, you didn't make it 1,000 shows or whatever, but that was one of the great swings that I've seen in Chicago media history. It really was an incredible accomplishment.
My God, I got to come on this show more often.
I mean it, man. My wife says, why don't you have him on? I'm like, I'm intimidated by his talent. I don't like people on the show more talented. Yeah. No, seriously, it was a very good show, but the swing, the attempt was, it was incredible.
Well, that is very kind of you to say. Unfortunately, that swinging so hard left me with a Joe Creedy back. And I was like, enough of this. I gotta hang him up. I gotta retire. But no, it was fun. It was good. It was a great learning experience. You know, I'm very proud of the show and, you know, all that stuff you're supposed to say. But I'll tell you, it was an immense amount of work, and I miss it, and I don't miss it.
I get it. I get it.
You know,
I listen, man, you were doing multiple man on the street packages and monologues. And how many people were working on the show? How many people?
The most that we had was 5. And that included our cameraman and editor. And then one of my comedian buddies was a writer. And then I had 2 producers. But when we first started the show, we had 3 people doing the show, which was just absurd.
Yeah, the people don't understand how ridiculous that is. Pat,
no,
listen, man, thank you. We'll talk more sports next time you're on. But
you got it. Anytime. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, huge fan of your work. Good luck with the podcast.
Thanks, brother.
That's Pat Tomasulo, Pat Tomasulo Podcast, the WGN Morning News. All right, guest into guest. You heard about NBA Top Shot? Do you understand it? Don't worry. Nobody else does either. But it's Bitcoin for basketball, and it's making people filthy rich. Pro sports better. Preston Johnson explains it next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.